This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. We start today with an update from the deadly industrial disaster in Longview. It happened early yesterday morning at the Nippon Dynawave Packaging Company. An enormous tank containing a corrosive compound ruptured, killing two people and injuring eight more. But at least nine other people are still unaccounted for. Jeff Wilson joins us now. He's a Republican state senator from Washington's 19th legislative district. He has spent most of his life in Longview. He ran a waste management firm prior to going into politics and worked on prior cleanups as a contractor at this very facility. Jeff Wilson, thanks very much for making time for us in the midst of this tragedy.
Thank you. It's glad to share the comments with your listeners this morning.
So by yesterday evening, it seemed that the rescue efforts had turned into recovery efforts. What's the latest you've heard about where recovery stands right now?
Well, in order, of course, to still be sensitive to the family and friends of this very tight-knit community, it's just not a lot has been released. They are in recovery to remove up to nine more personnel that were on site. The quantity and how that is progressing, I'm just not up to speed on that. It weighs so heavily on our community. It's a difficult conversation, but something we need to wait for the details on.
I appreciate that. But is it fair to say that, as I mentioned, with two people confirmed dead but nine still missing, that officials are assuming that the death toll is going to be at least 11.
Yes, that is, as of yesterday, it was confirmed that with footage and whatnot, that there was a visible through drone surveillance, of course, that there were six people still on site there, but yet there were still additional two. This was as of yesterday evening. So two or three. So a total of nine as of yesterday evening. And again, it's the recovery effort and they're trying to, they'll have to remediate during recovery as well too, to stabilize the structures nearby to ensure that the responders and whatnot can continue to remove, you know, those victims.
Right. Can you help us understand physically what the site looks like and the challenges of recovery at the site, the challenges for the responders who, have to be focused on their own safety as well.
Absolutely. You know, very common for pulp and paper type industries. There's a lot of areas that are very narrow and access to time, of course, is limited. And where the tank is located at, it is somewhat there's like one roadway in and one roadway out. That's how restrictive it is to get access to this courtyard where a lot of people, of course, work daily. It's a very busy place at times with people coming and going and employees and contractors in there. So it's not readily accessible with a lot of traffic. It just doesn't have the space for that. And that alone hampers that. The most important, too, in order to preserve the safety of others still, is that, you know, the conditions weren't always known. The nearby tanks, the surrounding structures, this was such a sudden event that they didn't fully have complete knowledge of all of the other affected areas, overhead pipelines, power and other chemicals or, you know, materials they use in the process would be all around still there present too.
And that's in addition to what has been talked about a little bit more, which is the enormous tank itself, which is, as I've seen from pictures and as I've heard it described, it's physically unstable. It could fall over and it still has, I guess, an unknown quantity of caustic liquid in it.
Well, the figures, obviously, it's a 900,000-gallon tank, and I would say it's been passed along that at least 500,000 gallons was dispersed when the tank tilted and failed. And due to other measurements, there could be as much as 90,000 gallons still remaining in the tank. There wasn't quite sure, but regardless, that is going to have to be, contents have to be removed. and then the surrounding area, of course, stabilized. Is that you're dealing with a caustic material, and there's certain means they're going to have to do to stabilize that. So, you know, I guess it becomes more open and accessible.
The tank that you're talking about here that ruptured, it's a 900,000 gallon capacity tank. You're saying that the estimates are that about 500,000 gallons of liquid dispersed. It's known as white liquor. What is this?
Well, white liquor is used in, of course, the pulp and paper process, and it's known really as a caustic or corrosive fluid. It is something that does require, when working with directly, of course, certain personal protective equipment. The tragic part of this is with a lot of this type of industry, there's so many things surrounding and connecting to these tanks. And this, again, was a workplace that, you know, people come in contact not with the chemical itself daily, but around these storage tanks. It's just something that, you know, is there on that site. But it is caustic and, you know, we'll leave it at that.
I want to turn to some of your own professional expertise at this exact site. It's unusual that a local state senator would have relevant work experience at the site of an industrial disaster, in this case, a deadly one. Can you give us a sense for the kind of work you did there?
Absolutely. For many, many years, I was a contractor at a company that I founded years ago, an environmental service company that, of course, still works at the mill to this day. We specialized in a number of items, which is routine maintenance and cleaning of tanks, of lines, assisting during outages and scheduled shutdowns. And then, of course, there are times there are emergencies or things that need to be taken care of right away. And we were a very specialized contractor, and the company, again, still works there to this day. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week type industry. I mean, the mill is alive constantly with workers and contractors, and there's a lot of conditions that come up, and I spent many years firsthand working at and near that tank, and my residence, of course, is just down the street. I can see the facility from my home as I'm talking from you today.
How often were you called out?
Well, we were called out, of course, for regular scheduled work that was planned. And then there were a lot of, you know, these type of industries require a lot of attention. So I was in the business of course, assisting, you know, whatever they needed, and whether it be tanker trucks or vacuum trucks and cleanup crews. And it was just something that routinely we would do. However, this event should be noted as exactly what it is. It is an enormous tragedy, a worst-case scenario, and everybody's going to have a whole bunch of questions, as they should. And every one of those questions deserves to be answered. It's just it's going to take a little time. But never before have I been around such a sudden release or in that quantity, any amount of any of the liquors that are used in the wood and pulp and paper process, green liquor, black liquor, white liquors. There's different variances of that. And yet we're trained for that, but we're dealing now, they are dealing, excuse me, with the worst case scenario that I'd never seen of scale before.
Never at this scale, never a catastrophe like this, but have there been other fatal accidents at this facility?
Well, I don't know if I could really recall. I have seen been involved in others, but they were not mass casualties, of course. And every time, your heart breaks. Longview, Washington, in Cowlitz County, is still known as a mill town, and that shows that we're a community, a big community family. That quite chances are you probably know somebody that works at the mill or mills, and That's our foundation of industry still to this day. We're a close-knit community, and it's going to take a lot of time. But to the families and friends, you know, I can't imagine, and I hope that we all keep them in our prayers, and we think about them constantly. Because, again, we're all going to be connected in some way. The city of Longview being only 40,000 people, we're not a large area. And chances are you would see a coworker or a friend at a local stoplight just coming and going from work. And at this time, you know, everything I can think of needs to be directed towards the families and what they're doing. This is a very tragic loss of life of friends and family. And it's going to take some time to get through this.
And just to put that in perspective, you mentioned 40,000 residents in Longview. There are something like 1,000 people work at this paper and packaging facility alone. So as you're saying, it's everybody knows somebody. Have you talked with friends or family of the people who are missing?
I have had some brief conversations. I wouldn't like to comment much on that because it's just so important that we respect not only their privacy, but to let them know that they are loved and thought of. Again, this site is a very large site. And despite the workers that go there daily and shift workers, my son works at the facility, one of the businesses located at the site. Hmm. And in addition, people come and go by the hundreds every day with truckers, supplies, that come and go, railroad. There's a lot of activity in addition to those that are employed there. That's what makes it just such a more intense tragedy of scale there.
Hmm. As you said, you can see the facility from your house, and plenty of residents can say the same thing. How much concern do you have about the spread of contamination into nearby communities, or waterways, ditches and dikes, or the Columbia River?
Well, I can assure the community, that the community has no impairment or danger for the public. However, you're right, the location is right there, and that was the first priority. I know that the operators of the facility, myself and other community leaders, and even the governor was down from Washington here, we all were concerned about that answer. How are we okay with the public, the neighbors to the facility? And I was confident, very confident, that they had taken steps to ensure that there is no effect on the nearby community. And that did include the resources, including the Columbia River, at which I believe there will be no impact to. So I was certain that the neighboring communities were safe at this time, and I believe they still are. And that's the process we're at now.
You know, and before we say goodbye, I absolutely take your point that right now your main focus is on the people who are most affected by this tragedy. And as you noted, the investigations, state and federal investigations, they're going to take a while. We're not at that phase yet. Even we're still in the recovery phase. But since you have this expertise, and before I say goodbye, I'm curious what you're going to be looking for from those investigations.
The same thing I believe that you would want to know and everybody wants to know. We do need answers. We need information to be clearly communicated with all officials, communities, families, and friends. There should be no hesitation on releasing information as soon as possible, because we do need to head to remediation and hopefully someday closure. However, I'm a big fan of releasing what you can immediately to the outlets such as yours so that we can have these discussions and people can be informed. Informed to the point where they begin to not necessarily understand the tragedy itself, but understand maybe the details of it, how it happened, and they can begin to deal with that. There's a lot of grieving going on in this community, and there's a lot of workers there that are from the AWPPWA, I mispronounce them daily, the workers there, and it's their friends. And you know, that area where the incident happened, again, was a area to get to. It's not that accessible. And so because of the surrounding area, imagine being surrounded almost with three walls of industrial equipment and buildings and tanks just to gain access to that. Again, it's a very difficult situation. we should never go through this again, but we do need to understand what happened. We're going to get that information as fast as we can to it, I guess, to share the truth of the story here.
Senator Wilson, thanks very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeff Wilson is a state senator from Washington's 19th legislative district. That includes Longview. He has spent most of his life in Longview. We were talking about the deadly industrial disaster that happened at Nippon Dynawave Packaging Company early yesterday morning when an enormous tank containing a corrosive compound ruptured, killing two people that have been confirmed so far, injuring eight more. At least nine other people are still unaccounted for and are presumed dead.